History can mean anything from your personal life story to your family tree to the history of your community, of the state or the nation. And today we're going to learn about an exciting new public history project that is focusing right here in Wisconsin and on Wisconsin farms and farmers. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. James Levy is an assistant professor of race, ethnicity, and U.S. history and directs the public history program in the history department at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. And he is overseeing this Wisconsin Farms Oral History Project. And James, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Larry, for having us.
Really appreciate you coming by. And also appreciate Jose Zaragoza, who is a student at the UW-Whitewater. He's also a farmer, and he is working on this Wisconsin Farms Oral History Project. And Jose, welcome to the show. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you for having us here.
How do you balance farming and being a student, by the way?
Well, I have to go home on the weekends to help out, but I'm not close enough to home to be there every day. So,
you know what? I have a few of my students who do exactly that same thing. So it's great to have you with us today, and great that you're able to participate this. You're a farmer yourself from a Mexican-American family. Why do you think a project like this is important?
The reason I got into it was when I heard about, I'm a computer science major, and most of the other students are history majors. My family's been farming since I can remember, and I just wanted to help farmers out, because I know a lot of farmers in my community. I think their stories should be preserved. Someone can come, you know, maybe 50 years from now and see what it was like to farm in 2012, 2006, whatever. So that's the reason I wanted to get into it. I wanted to help them preserve what they do and how they do it.
Well, that's wonderful, and I really think it's a wonderful project. And James, maybe you can talk about how it first came to be, and, sure. and then maybe tell us a little bit about more about the nuts and bolts of it.
Yeah. Of course. Well, people like Jose, students like Jose, there's a lot of people with farming, students with farming backgrounds on campus, as there are, I'm sure, throughout the UW system. Whether it's themselves as farmers or growing up on a farm, or probably don't have to go much further back than their grandparents. And, you know, we started at Whitewater with this project idea to really collect farm stories across the state. I thought it would be a great idea to take advantage of the UW system, both in terms of its reach throughout the state and its affiliation with the Wisconsin Historical Society. So the goals of this project are to look at food and farming, food production, farming throughout the state through oral histories. But even as we're collecting oral histories, students are actually delving further back into the past as they interview people about their ancestors and identify things like photographs and documents they may have to really capture the history of farming in the state. But one thing that's not mentioned in our title, or that you know, doesn't come up as much immediately, is the real focus of this thematically is on race and ethnicity, actually. We're looking at this state is incredible in those categories when we link food production and farming to questions of people's cultural background. So whether it's African-American farming, urban farming in Milwaukee, Hispanic farmers throughout the state, Hmong farmers, et cetera, it's pretty rich. And even of people of European descent, you know, there's few states that have that much connection and pride in their ethnicities, even among people of European descent. So it's pretty rich material.
And how are you going to find the people to talk to?
That's a great question. And it's always a work in progress. I've done oral history projects like this in the past, and I found there's often a sort of a tipping point where you've made, you know, built enough trust with people, have done enough interviews, that then people start hearing about it and they start coming to you. But in the beginning, because training is such an important part of this project, we're really letting students lead with people they know, because there is so much reach into farming communities. Jose is a perfect example.
Yeah.
And as they bring their stories back, at the same time, connections are being developed.
Talking today with James Levy and Jose Zaragoza about a Wisconsin Farms Oral History Project that they are helping to spearhead here and are spearheading. And James is overseeing the whole project. Great to have them along. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments about this project. What does it mean to you? Have you some stories that you've collected that might be useful? Are you from a farming family? What do you think are the important stories, or what kinds of stories do you think are most important? Love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Chris in Wisconsin Dells up with a comment. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Happy winter.
Have you got a little snow there yet?
No, actually, we got a dusting overnight, and I don't anticipate. I'm crossing my fingers. I have things I want to plant, and this is making me angry. Okay, I have a really great farm story. My great-grandparents migrated from Minnesota to the eastern side of the state near Elkhart Lake and bought a farm, and they built this great farmhouse. It's cream city brick with cathedral ceilings and whatever. And my great-grandparents passed away eventually, and my grandfather built another farmhouse a mile away, and when my great-grandparents died, he took over both of the farms, and they had a pretty good-sized dairy operation, and lots of the extended family were in dairy farming. Well, my grandfather was renting out the great farmhouse, the Cream City Brick one, to a bunch of people who were raising pigs and chickens in it and completely trashed it. And then when he decided to retire, they sold the farmhouse to these wonderful people that completely restored it, restored all the outbuildings, gutted the whole thing out, built a greenhouse along the south side of the property. And in the Tommy Thompson I Hate Family Farmers era of Wisconsin history, my uncle lost the farm. And the woman who owned the farmhouse down there bought as much of the land around it as she could afford to buy, and she has restored it back to prairie and letting the trees grow, and she has done alternative farming on it, which is that she runs a business that makes essential oils and dried flowers, thingamajiggers, and herbs and whatever. And so now she's running her business off the property, and she's letting the property go back to nature. And so I feel very, very proud that I am watching this full circle thing happening with my family farm.
Oh, that's great.
That's a cool story. Is that a kind of story that you're wanting to hear about?
Absolutely. I'll tell you, one of the things that comes up in hearing that is one of the big themes in this project is the question of ownership and the people have in land. And when you're dealing with questions of race and ethnicity, this is even a bigger theme, because there are people who work on farms, and I think as they do, they feel a lot of ownership of certain farms, even if they don't legally own it. And so one of the things, as we trace genealogy, you find that people do talk about how invested they are in their childhoods and their family land, that have seen those lands be sold off, maybe developed, and their hearts are broken. And so what's wonderful about hearing this story just now is that, you know, not only, you know, is that ownership feeling still there, but she's happy having her farm in, you know, even out of ownership, as long as it's tended to and taken care of in the right ways. And I think that's a really great sentiment.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in too at 1-800-642-1234. We'd certainly love to hear from you. How many, what are the goals for the project? I mean, in terms of numbers and things like that.
Sure. Well, we said originally we want to get over 100 interviews. I think this project is really growing. I think we're going to be in the hundreds, and it also will probably be an ongoing project. It could even become a center. We've had a lot of success recruiting other campuses. So right now we have 5 UW campuses: Madison, Milwaukee, Oshkosh, Eau Claire, and Whitewater. And we intend to cover the entire state. Right now, we've got about 50 or 60 interviews. We've only been around less than a year really doing interviews. But, you know, I think pretty soon we'll hit our 100 mark, and who knows? 1,000.
And then keep going from there.
That's right.
And you want to go back to at least the 30s.
Well, we want to go back. We're saying that based on how old people are and where my memory is. But I think the stories will go back to the 30s or maybe earlier if we find the right people. But like I said, we're interested in the stories that were also passed down from the 19th century.
What kinds of stories, can you give us some examples of the kinds of things that you're hearing and getting now? And Jose, maybe you can talk about that.
Yeah, definitely. The first interview I did is a farmer out in Portage County. And so we don't just ask, like, what do you do on your farm? We ask, like, childhood, growing up. And I remember he would talk about his children, and this was like probably my favorite part of the interview. And he gave me an example of he would make his son go out and pick the potatoes, and it would take them hours and hours, his son and his daughters. And they would always complain about that. And one day he said they got of age and they were going to leave the house, but they were visiting. And it was his turn to pick the potatoes. And they were all sitting down, he says, at the dinner table, and they were waiting. They were anxious, waiting for him to go outside and pick the potatoes. And he did. He had his dinner. He went out and he picked the potatoes. And he came in within like half an hour, 45 minutes. And his son got up and said, what happened with the potatoes? And he says, oh, I'm done. And his son's like, wait, you mean you could have done that in half an hour and you made us go out there for 5 hours? And then this is the part where the person I interviewed, this is where he got a little emotional. And he started to tear up a little bit. And he said, you know, but it wasn't about picking the potatoes. It was never about picking the potatoes. He said it was about teaching them the value of work, you know, giving them a good work ethic. You know, yeah, I could have went out there and I could have done it for them. I could have finished it within 30 minutes, 45 minutes. But I wanted him to learn that and take it with him throughout life. And he says, I hope it's things like these that he'll remember. And it'll help him later in life.
So
that was one of the best parts of the interview, one of the favorite parts.
Well, that's the kind of thing that you know, makes being an interviewer. I mean, doing this project is so enjoyable. It's got to. I've had the experience. Well, it's been a long time now, but of interviewing farmers myself in a farm market study, a market information study, a long, long time ago. And I tell you, there oftentimes if farmers might say, well, I don't have a lot of time. And I said, well, you don't need, it'll only take as much time as you have answers for. And sometimes 10 minutes, you'd say, oh, maybe 10 or 15 minutes or whatever. And that would more often than not turn into an hour, hour and a half. And really, people were so nice. And I'm sure I hope that you're getting that same sort of.
Oh, yes. We sit down. I ask them for at least an hour, but I think my two interviews are at least 2 hours long. It's more like a conversation, and they love sharing it. You know, I think they want to share it with somebody. They want to talk about it, you know, outside of their family and stuff. So, once we start talking, it just goes on and on and on. And even I think that the person I interviewed, the first one, his name is Daniel Milkey out in Portage County. I think we talked for another 2 hours after the interview was actually done. We kept talking. So.
Well, we have callers coming in. You can join in. Maybe you've got a story to share, a question about the project, or maybe we can talk a little bit about how you might even get involved. Maybe you know some people, or maybe you yourself have that kind of experience. And I'm pretty sure Jose and James would love to know about that. So we certainly look forward to your calls and questions and your emails and Facebook comments, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Carl Christensen, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, we're focusing on and finding out about a very cool new effort. It's called the Wisconsin Farms Oral History Project with a couple of folks from the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, James Levy, assistant professor there, and Jose Zaragoza, who is a student at the UW-Whitewater and a farmer as well, and certainly heavily involved in this oral history project. Again, the number 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I had a Facebook comment from Tim who would love a follow-up on this. If anyone shares stories of World War II, German POWs working on farms here, if I'm not mistaken, there were about 20,000 German POWs here in the 40s. There was a book about it, I think. Anyway, it's a question that that may well come up.
Yeah, I mean, and that fits exactly into what we're trying to look at. Although I'm tracing, you know, German POWs will be pretty difficult, but I do know about that, and I think it would be fascinating. The way this works is students choose. We really like them to lead with what they're interested in. So who knows? I mean, maybe some students, a lot of them have German ancestry, would be interested in just trying to chase exactly that question up. I think it's a great idea.
Let's, and again, if you, As we talk with people, we may have some folks who phone in with remembrances, and if you're in that and willing to leave your phone number with Carl, you know, Jim might want to get a hold of you after the show to talk, maybe talk more in depth. But let's go to Roger in Spring Green next. Hi, Roger. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I grew up in southwest Wisconsin, Crawford County, over near Prairie du Chien in the Mississippi River. And the farm that I grew up on, the house that I grew up on, the farm's been in my family more than 100 years. And the house that I grew up in is a classic two-story, four-square, but it was built in 1936, new, as during the Great Depression. And I asked my great-aunt, who was born in 1918 and grew up in that house, and then I grew up in that house, I said, you know, as I got older and realized, I'm like, you guys built a house, a new house, during the Great Depression. What was going on? What was it like for you during the Great Depression? And she said, we grew our own food. We had our own money. We mostly traded with neighbors for food, fish from people down by the Mississippi, just 2 miles away. And that we really had no money before the Great Depression. We didn't have much during it, and we didn't have much after, so we really didn't notice.
Hmm. That's an interesting story. Roger, thank you. Is your aunt still alive?
Nope, she died about 10 years ago.
Oh.
Well, we would love for Roger and people like Roger to potentially be interviewed if they're up for it. Can I just tell us to give you the URL for our...
Yes,
for
please do.
Because then if people want to get involved, there is a Get Involved page. It's wisconsinfarms.org. Pretty easy. Just all one word, no punctuation. Wisconsinfarms.org.
So people can just go there, leave their...
There's a Get Involved link, and they can leave their information with us. There's also contact information on the website. They can call me directly or email me directly. We're pretty accessible.
Very cool. Rick in La Crosse, your turn next. Hi, Rick. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. My dad was telling me a story. He's about 85 years old. How when he was a kid, they had a milk bottling business, and they would go pick up a couple cans of milk every morning from the farmer that lived right next to town, and they would bottle it. And then my dad would go around with a horse. He was like 10 years old with a wagon. And with that horse, they put shoes on the horse that had spikes so the horse wouldn't slip on the ice. And he went around delivering this bottled milk to the homes. And that was before pasteurization was required. And it just seemed like such a simpler way of life than what we have right now.
Wow. Yeah, that's a pretty cool story. And your dad's passed?
No, he's still around, but he's telling these old stories because they had a grocery store in town, in that little town, and the farmers would bring in eggs and trade eggs for canned goods and that sort of thing, and it was just quite a way of life compared to what we have right now.
Mm. Boy, well, there's again somebody that may, Rick, if you can put information, or if he'd be willing to maybe talk to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be really cool if you could put that information up. Again, though, what's the where do you go to?
Wisconsinfarms.org.
Wisconsinfarms.org. If you'd be willing to talk, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, it really would. Mm-hmm. And is Rick still on? Does he have do you have things like photographs from the family or from your dad or, you know, other? Because part of this project, I should just put this into another frame as well, is that we're really building a large collection. The oral histories are the predominant part of this collection, but we're also very well aware that a lot of other projects like this have happened before us. What we think we can do in the UW system with the Historical Society, also in partnership, is to help bring a lot of those projects together into one place. And so part of what we do when we interview people too is we'd like to find out what's out there in terms of documents and whatever the family's willing to share and make public. It's up to them, but it's really rich where you can contextualize oral histories with things like photographs or old letters. I mean, Rick, does your family say that? Do you have a barn where some hoarder put a lot of stuff?
Yeah, it was, like I say, they had a little grocery store in this little town, but they did a lot of trading with the farmers and all kinds of, they went out to the farm and butchered livestock right on the farm with a truck, and it was...
Very, very cool. Well, thanks for calling, and consider contacting the Wisconsin Farms Oral History Project. And again, where do you go to for that?
WisconsinFarms.org.
it never hurts to keep
That's
mentioning.
That's right. No, thank you.
To keep mentioning that, WisconsinFarms.org. David in Green Bay, hello. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for answering my call. This program is just wonderful because for the past 2 years, I've been writing a book of my life on the farm. I was born and raised on a farm in Duck Creek, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And my great-great-great-grandfather immigrated from Canada down here. He was one of the first three white persons that settled in the wilderness at that time, which was Duck Creek. And he married a Menominee Indian, and he bought 60 acres of land here. And it was in the early 1800s. I don't have the deed for the first farm, but I've recorded the history and been doing the research. I'm in the process of writing a book on it. Yeah. I have the original deed. He purchased 60 acres back in 1898. I have the second land purchase he made in 1904, and I have a third land purchase he made in 1917. I have the deeds in actually pretty good shape. And what I've put together for our family reunion, I've put together a pictorial history of all of the earliest pictures I have of the farm, the homestead, thrashing. I have pictures of us making thrashing grain with horses. And I have pictures of my great-great-grandfather filling the silo with a steam engine, because that preceded the gasoline engines and tractors.
Yeah.
And so I have a wealth of pictures. The first picture of the homestead I was born and raised in and lived in. Had no driveways and only had horse hitching posts in front of the house.
Well, would you be willing or interested in sharing some of these, David?
Well, I would, because it's my memory. My intent in documenting this was to preserve it, because I realized that I'm probably one of the last generation that saw that amount of progress in the Industrial Revolution, you know.
Yeah.
And I have 11 grandchildren, and I'm going to try and leave these memories for them. So I've got hundreds of pictures.
All right.
So, I mean, I would just respond to that. I think, Larry, you asked the right question, which is a question that we ask. You know, so how much do people really want to share? We think we could provide a great public service. I think that kind of story, those kinds of the photographs he was describing, really tell a lot about farming and the history of Wisconsin. But we're sensitive to what people want to share. He's writing a book. I think it's fantastic. We want to present ourselves as a resource. So, for example, you know, we may be able to help preserve. We have archivists that are professionals at this, help preserve some of those photographs, digitize them, scan them, put them into a collection. But that, you know, David is someone I hope will contact us, because it sounds like a great project.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful, David. I hope you'll go to WisconsinFarms.org and make that connection. Yeah, I appreciate your call very much. Sounds like a wonderful and rich history, and I would commend you for going ahead to preserve it, because, you know, those 11 grandkids are going to be interested. One day they're going to be really interested in that. I'm pretty sure of that. And thanks again. Janet in Milwaukee, I want to give you a chance to join in. Hi, Janet. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Appreciate your call.
I am with Centerville Settlement, a rural historic preservation organization in Centerville Township in Manitowoc County at the Cleveland exit. Mm. And we have been having meetings every month for recording oral history and video documenting all of the sessions of local farmers, anywhere from fourth, fifth, sixth generation local people of experiencing farming, experiencing life in the area. And all of those videos are archived at the Lakeshore Technical College. So we would love to work with you in sharing information and continuing our project.
Oh, that sounds great. We would love that, too. Tell me, you know, this theme of race and ethnicity, I'm wondering how that has that come up in your interviews?
The Centerville Township is predominantly Saxon German. Hmm. There are still fifth and sixth generation farms in the original family farming in the area. So it's a kind of a little time capsule. Some of the people still speak German.
Mm, wow.
Oh, boy.
And so has that happened in the interviews? Is there much German going on in the actual recordings?
Not a lot, but some, yes.
That's wonderful.
And so we've been, you know, actually it's been a model. We have regained and preserved so much of our oral history. It's been just absolutely fascinating. They'll follow, say, a particular farm family from all the memories, and they have all of the photographs that they that they've documented in the videos. And we have quite a photo collection as well from, wow, from the area. So if you're documenting and preserving the photos, we'd love to work with that as well.
Oh, that's great. Hmm. You know, this richness of language is really starting to emerge in this project as well. We had at Whitewater a Hmong student who interviewed Hmong farmers where he's from, all in Hmong.
Mm.
And then he graduated.
Yeah.
So, but he's staying in touch with us. We also have someone in Milwaukee on the Milwaukee part of this project who's a native Hmong speaker and will help us translate. But that's a whole other realm of work that needs to be done.
Jana, thank you.
Yes.
Appreciate your call very much. Teresa in Appleton, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. My mother is 92 years old, and she grew up in southern Door County on a farm, and she remembers the POWs because she spoke German. That was her first language, and she remembers them being on the buses and kind of sneaking and talking to them and in German. And they also picked cherries in Door County, and I believe the American Folklore Theater had someone research and write a play about it, and it was put on last year, and it was about the German POWs. It was amazing, really, you know, kind of like, oh, walk a mile in their shoes kind of play. Mm-hmm. And anyway, my mom is 92, and she has really good memories of the farm and remembers even. And she was like 5'2" and weighed 100 pounds, and she would get behind the horses and you know, be the driver of the horses plowing the field even at that, you know, at that time. So she goes way back.
Wow.
So anyway, I just wanted you to know that there is a play about the POWs.
Well, that's great. And Tracy, do you think your mother would talk to anybody from this project, this oral history project?
Yes, I think she would. I think she would like that.
If you wouldn't mind, maybe contact or just put a note in the wisconsinfarms.org, go to that site, you know, and go to the part about participating, the button, a phone number or something that where they could contact her. That'd be great.
We would love that. I think this German POWs idea is really fantastic. We should follow up on this.
Oh, yeah, and definitely you should, the play as well.
Right.
Because the people who did the play, I know, researched. Did quite a bit of research.
Right. Yeah, they did.
Thanks, Teresa.
You're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate your call very much. Well, you know, Daniel, or Jose, we got an email from Daniel, who's got a story on you.
Uh-oh.
When you were a young lad of around 10 years old, you would sell at the farmer's market. And he says, that little guy had the cutest and biggest smile, which he would give to every lady who came to buy. He would even carry the purchases to their cars and almost always returned with a huge tip, which made the smile even bigger, and we were all jealous.
Yeah, Dan, I've known him from the farmer's market. Actually, my dad went to sell. I would sell with him when I was 5. And then I kind of like ran the whole thing when I was 7, you know, with the other farmers. He would drop me off, and he would go sell to a different market a couple miles down the road. I would make a killing on the tips. But yeah, that's the Stevens Point Farmers Market. I'm actually a board member of that, of the Farmers Market Association down there.
Oh, that is very cool. What do you sell at the market, just as an aside?
We grow vegetables.
Vegetables?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And before the vegetables, we have a nursery, so we grow, like, hanging baskets, flowers, bouquets.
Oh, cool.
But, yeah, it's you know, tomatoes, lettuce, watermelons, cantaloupe, just all vegetables.
And you're still using that big smile. You got a pretty good smile. Yeah,
he does.
No doubt about that. Oh, boy. Kelly, Atlanta Lakes, your turn. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to share a story about my neighbor. Her name is Lee Bennett, and about 10, 15 years ago, she came to me with a notebook filled with stories that she had written down from her life on the farm during the Depression. This was down in Boscobel, Wisconsin. And she wanted me to type these stories for her and put them, and then she was going to have them bound into a book and given to her nephew. But I thought the stories were so good that we ended up finding a publisher, and she got her stories published.
Right.
But she is still, to this day, telling me stories about her stern German grandfather and what it was like for the family to live under this, with this man on the farm, and how he really needed to keep his children on the farm in order to keep the farm going.
Yeah.
Wow. What's the name of that book? Do you have the title?
Yeah, the name is Leona's Legacy, and it's Memories of a Farmer's Daughter.
Hmm.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, it's full of short stories about growing up during the Depression on the farm. And one of the sad parts in the book is that towards the end, where her father is killed on the farm, he was dragged by horses and died from this when she was only 13 years old.
Mm. Well, that would I'm sure that book would be a wonderful addition to this project. So, mm-hmm. Kelly, thank you for telling us about it.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. You're welcome.
Appreciate it very much. We have more callers. And speaking of books, someone else either Facebook or emailed in and said that there is a book about the German POWs in Wisconsin. It's called Stylog Wisconsin. So,
oh, yeah. I actually know that book.
So that's a good reminder. And Mike in Oshkosh, thank you for calling. Hi.
Good morning. I have kind of a question or suggestion or comment for your guests.
Great.
And that is this. I have a cousin older than myself who grew up on a farm. And some time ago, we were talking about old pictures she had. And, of course, she wanted to keep them. And I know many people are reluctant to lend things like that for fear they won't come back, either through neglect or intention. So what I did was, I took my laptop computer and a flatbed scanner along with me, and I scanned a lot of this stuff on the spot. I'm wondering if your guests are way ahead of me on this, or if they've thought of it.
I wouldn't say way ahead, but yes, we've thought of it, and you know, it's a pretty new project. I guess, as I said, we've been around less than a year, but that is our intention, is to bring portable scanners with us, and you know, and to digitize things so that people don't have to loan them out. It's kind of going to depend on the person and what they're willing to share, what they're willing to loan.
Exactly. Well, I just thought I'd mention that because it worked well for me, and it sounds like you have a very interesting project going on here.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And your video, obviously, it's an oral history project, so you're recording either with a audio or a video.
Yeah, it's right now it's almost exclusively audio, but mm-hmm. For a number of reasons about getting things started and training students, but we do intend to do video as well.
It's and the audio anymore with Audacity or any of the other softwares that are available on every, you know,
exactly
computer, you can actually get, I'm surprised at the quality of recording you can get.
You can record from your iPhone.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't do that. We have kind of nice equipment and nice mics, but sometimes I'm a little bit humbled by when someone says, well, here's my recording. It was done on my iPhone, and it's hard to tell the difference.
It's hard to tell the difference. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I teach some broadcast classes, and I've noticed that myself we have some nice expensive microphones and equipment, and sometimes the iPhone sounds just about as good or just as good, to be perfectly honest.
Right.
Well, we have, we're about out of time here. I want to go back to the project itself and how do people get involved, or what do you want? What would you like from people?
Sure. Well, this project really is, in its intent, supposed to be a community-based project. Right now, it's mostly in the UW system. We spend our energy recruiting students and faculty throughout the state. But to get involved, you know, we obviously want people to interview, but we also want people to help participate in designing the project itself. We're building partnerships with grassroots organizations, historical societies, places like Growing Power, schools, who can get involved in this project on a number of levels. And like I said, we want to use what we have in the UW system as a resource for residents and community groups rather than necessarily leading this only on our own. So to get involved, if you want to be interviewed, if you know someone who could be interviewed, if your organization wants help with something that seems related to our project, please get in touch with us. It's wisconsinfarms.org. I'd be happy to talk to follow up with anyone, and we can. I'm sure there is a place for really anyone who wants to get involved in this project.
I would certainly think. I was just thinking as you were talking here, you know, there's a Century Farms organization,
that's right.
And you may want to get in touch with them just to as a sort of a starting point for finding folks.
That's great.
Yeah, because there would be, you'd have addresses and the whole, you'd have the contact information, and these are all farms that are 100 years and in the family, so in the same family. So
that's a great idea.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea. And, well, I tell you what, Jim and Jose, you have a pretty good idea here. I like this oral history project. I've been fortunate to have been involved in some previous projects that relate to this, and so I think it's well worth it, and I hope you get lots of people contacting wisconsinfarms.org.
Awesome. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. Our two guests today, James Levy, Assistant Professor of Race, Ethnicity, and U.S. History. He directs the Public History Program in the History Department of the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater and oversees this Wisconsin Farms Oral History Project. With him today, Jose Zaragoza, student from the UW-Whitewater, farmer. He's working on the project himself, has done a bunch of interviews, and certainly, obviously, has taken a very active role in the project. So it's great to have both of them here today. I really appreciate them taking the time to do it. So coming up next, we're going to talk about preserving our planet in light of the challenges that climate change poses. My old friend Bassam Shakashiri and also Jerry Bell are coming up next. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.